You ask, I deliver, Bo.
Who let the dogs out?
Who
let the dogs out?
All of them, yeah.
Who let the dogs out?
Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. My name is Bo Matthews, and the reason that song is playing is we are a week away now from the Big Dogs Poker Bash to benefit the Eureka Police Officer Support Fund. Mark Cox is on vacation, so he is out. But we're going to do okay. I think we're going to fill up the show just fine. We actually have a field trip on the show, Carl.
What?
Yeah, I did a field trip this week. And
when am I going to say pew pew? I think I just did.
Yeah.
All right, come on.
Check, box checked. anyway, no, I went to Razorback Armory on Wednesday and picked up the shotgun donation that they did for the Poker Bash. So we're going to talk to Jesse, and I don't think I've ever recorded a conversation with him in the store. And it was fantastic. Got to meet a couple of customers and got to hear about some of the cool things that they're doing at Razorback Armory. So in the next segment, the second segment of the program today, it'll be a field trip on Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors. You're going to hear about the Poker Bash quite a bit. And I just want to put it out here because the big push is on. One of the greatest memories of last year during COVID, during the pandemic, we did get our Big Dogs Poker Bash in. The fifth annual happened when there was a window of time that, you know, kind of everything kind of relaxed a little bit. The funny thing about it was the fourth annual happened the day of the big warning. Matter of fact, we had law enforcement and emergency personnel at the Poker Bash, and they got the call that day. It was, I think, January or February. I think it was February. They got the call that they had to leave to go to a major meeting going on for first responders. And, you know, medical, that's when all the big wave of information was coming out. That was right before. So we got the game in right before the pandemic. And then right as it kind of eased last year, there was a dip. And we fit it in, and last year, the fifth annual was a record. So I would love to break the record. And so with hard information about this, first of all, let me just explain this. The Big Dogs Poker Bash is, I mean, a lot of people have been getting together with neighbors and friends through the pandemic, playing cards, playing games, things like that.
So you think you're better than you actually are.
Oh, that's when you play apps. That's when you think you're... But the great thing about this is it's a relaxed game. The food is fantastic. The people are fantastic because they're supporting our law enforcement. And it's just a great time to get out at a beautiful location in at Brookdale Farms in Eureka. We're doing it again this year. I would love to beat the record that we set last year of the money that we're raising for law enforcement and their families in Eureka. Kim Mayer is kind of the driving force behind this. Her husband is the president of the Eureka Police Officer Support Fund. I'm a vice president. Jamie Bone is a vice president. What is your title? You're the treasurer, aren't you?
No, I'm actually the administrator.
I'm sorry, let's go with that. That sounds way more important. You have the big information. Last year, if you can remember correctly, how many players did we have playing Texas Hold'em?
We had 156 players last year.
Wow. Okay, so We need to beat that, and we've got the space to beat that at Silo Point at Brookdale Farms. Kim, what is your favorite part of putting this on? Aside from it being a ton of work for you and the team that puts it together, what's your favorite part of doing it?
My favorite part is seeing so many people stand behind and support our men and women in blue. I mean, it is just absolutely amazing to see them come forward and donate and sponsor this event. And then when it all comes together, the work that we've put in for months ahead of time is just so worth it.
Yeah, it really is. And that's why I'm on board. I'm not a resident of Eureka like yourself, but huge fans of the area. Of course, Realty Executives Premier is the organization that is really, you know, putting a lot into it. Plus, a lot of your agents are volunteering, which is fantastic.
Yes.
And last year, we had a silent auction that just was, it exploded. It was so huge, and we had everything from firearms to trips to everything included. But even that has already been beat out this year by a record donation
by
Jerry and Laura Kirk. Tell us about that donation and how people can get more information about it.
Okay, this is for a four-night, five-day stay on their yacht down in Fort Myers. And it's a $21,000 value. Well, at least it was $21,000 when they donated the trip.
Okay.
But now fuel has gone up. It's probably way more than $21,000.
Oh, no, you're right. You're right.
And it includes a full day, 12 hours out on the water. and it's docked in a marine that is basically two blocks walking to go to all the, you know, stores, restaurants, bars, grills, everything. So it's just a great trip. We're setting the bid starting at $7,500.
Yeah.
And I've already got a couple people saying I'm going to win this. So we'll see how high it goes.
You know, it is a wonderful donation that they have made. It's an 82-foot yacht, I believe, if I'm correct. And it's up for, is it up for four people or four couples?
Six people.
Three couples. And if, you know, when you do like an excursion like this, something really fun, people want experiences. If three couples pool their money together, they could really get to a pretty high bid.
Oh, absolutely. Because, I mean, it's going to be a trip of a lifetime.
And that is just one of the many things that we'll have. You know, and I've joked that that the Big Dogs Poker Bash is really a giant silent auction item, and a card game breaks out. But it really is both, and it's efficient. A big shout-out to Saucy's of Hillsboro. They have donated the pork butts. Your son, Charles, is going to be doing the smoking, as he's done every year for it.
Correct.
We've got a bunch of Blue Owl. We've got Red Door Liquor is involved.
We've got Sarah's Cake Shop doing a dessert bar. Super Smokers donating the coleslaw and the barbecue sauce. We have Brown Jerry's Barbecue in Pacific donating his famous mac and cheese.
Oh, boy. And I do want to point out that Jerry Holloway, former NFL player, is going to be singing the national anthem once again. And if you've never experienced that, it is one of the best performances you will ever. It'll give you chills. There's no doubt about it.
It gives me chills every year. Yep. Absolutely.
We are also going to have bounties on certain people's head, including my own. And
of
so
course.
That idea is if we're playing cards and you knock me out of the game, then you win my bounty. And so we're going to have a bunch of those. It's always a great time. We've got some pistols we're going to be raffling off. It's just a blast. I just don't want anybody to miss it. So, Kim, if you would, point people to where they can get reserved for their seat and see more information about some of the donations that have come in.
Well, to reserve their seats, they can go online, type in on Facebook, 6th Annual Big Dogs Poker Bash, and it'll bring you to the event page. And if you click on the discussion tab, you can scroll down and see all of our great sponsors, all of the silent auction items that are in so far. I've probably got 50, maybe 100 more silent auction items coming in.
Wow.
Between today and the tournament. And we've already got, I'm sure there's 100 items already posted, anywhere from gift cards all the way up to the yacht trip. We've got a guided fishing tour on one of Missouri's rivers or streams.
Stream Adventures, and I'm going to talk about that later on the show. But to get tickets, to reserve your seat, it's $50 online, $60 at the door, and it's really a relaxed game. It's not like going to a poker tournament at a casino. This is relaxed, but ran really well. Eventbrite, is that where they're going to go for that?
Yes.
Yes, they can go to Eventbrite and look for the Big Dogs Poker Bash.
And it's DAWG.
Just like tattooed on my arm.
Yes.
Plus, we have shirts. I don't know. It's kind of it's really not an ego thing, but I've always wanted to have the long sleeve shirts with the tattoo emulated on it. Yeah, dog. So it's on there. So those are going to be available at the event. Can they buy those online, Kim?
No, those aren't online because it's a little bit difficult to get in there and get the sizes and everything, you know, for people to order. And then there might be a lot of shipping and whatever. So at the event only, or they can come pick them up from my office. I don't know. You can give out my phone number online.
No. Just go to contact her through Facebook. We'll do it that way.
Okay.
Safer that way.
I don't know.
But we do want to mention, we always get this question. How old do you have to be to play the game real quick?
18 to play and 21, obviously, for alcohol.
Okay, and obviously. And spectators, you can come to watch the game, buy and play in the silent auction. How much is that? $10? $15?
$10 at the door, and that will give you your food and soft drinks, and then you can bid on anything. And if you want an alcoholic beverage, it's a cash bar.
It'll be available. Kim Mayer, thank you so much. The true power behind the 6th Annual Big Dogs Poker Bash, Sunday, March 27th. Hope to see you there. Coming up next, we're going to go on a field trip to Razorback Armory in De Pere on Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors. Yeah. Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors. This segment brought to you by Razorback Armory. It better be, because I'm standing in their showroom right now, a mile east of 270 on Manchester Road, and walked in because I'm here to pick up a donation for the Big Dogs Poker Bash, which happens on March 27th, a Sunday. Texas Hold'em game. We'll tell you more about that coming up. But I just walked in, and a meeting was just getting wrapped up, and my new friend, AJ. How you doing, buddy?
Hi, doing well.
Are you a first-time customer here, coming in for a silencer?
I've been here a few times. First silencer I'm getting this today.
And what caliber are you going for?
Today I'm getting a 22.
Oh, very nice.
I'm filling the paperwork for a 22.
Do you have multiple 22 firearms?
I do. I have a rifle and a pistol.
Something I learned. It can go on either one.
It can.
It's amazing. So how do you think the process was today for you?
The process today was smooth. It was great.
Jesse's a good guy. Knowledgeable.
Absolutely.
Not arrogant.
I picked his brains a few times. I've been in here a time or two about suppressors. So.
Yeah, good stuff. Well, yeah. AJ, nice to meet you. Yeah, thanks for being a supporter of the Second Amendment. And we're arming America with Razorback Armory. Thank you very much, sir. Appreciate it. Jesse is here behind the counter. And Jesse, you didn't know you were going to be part of the show, but you are. I'm going to clip that right. Go ahead and clip that right on you. And how's things?
Good. Very good.
Thanks for arming America.
I try to do my part.
We want to put out there, RazorbackArmory.com is the website. It really is. I don't know why I'm looking at my phone. great website. And I've seen a bunch of podcasts that you've been uploading. Mm-hmm. Tell me what you guys have been doing, or what's on deck for the next podcast. Have you planned it out?
So actually, we just released today, if you guys are up on social media, that we are doing a hiatus of the podcast because we're rebranding a little bit. We're changing a few things up. But one of the main things we did is we posed a question to all of our listeners and all of our followers is, what do you want me to do a podcast on? What are you looking to hear more about? What interests you? So that we may be doing a podcast directly for that person.
Give them what they want, right?
That's right. Yeah.
So how can people get that information?
So they can go to the website. They can email us. They can just post on that social media thing. Just go into that feed and make a remark. Okay. We've got our marketing team on that, looking over those things and looking at trying to gain some content, but definitely point it to our listeners, the people who have supported us, and maybe there's something they want to know about, want to hear about, and we're trying to look at that.
Do you feel it's only been one way? You've just been putting out the information you thought was going to be right, or have you been contacted by people saying, hey, will you talk about this or that?
So we have been contacted. We were kind of branding it as our frequently asked questions because we get frequently asked questions.
Yeah.
But I think that's people who are coming into the shop. We're actually wanting to see the people who are actually interacting with us on social media, and maybe they have a different perspective than the people who are actually coming in.
Sure, absolutely. And everybody's looking for answers.
Oh, yeah.
And what's a strange question that somebody may have? I want the dirt.
Really, it's kind of weird. A lot of people think, first-time gun buyers, they think that it's a really spooky process. A lot of people want to, well, what am I going to need to bring in to buy a gun? And how long is the process? And how much of my background do you need and everything? And we try to walk them through that process and say, hey, you know, Missouri resident, you know, if you're buying a pistol over the age of 21, you can't have any felonies, you know, any warrants, you know, harassing, stalking, all the questions that you fill out on the form. We try to walk them through it and let them know. And then the spooky or crazy thing is people don't want to be on a list. I don't want to be on a watch list. I actually answered a question for a suppressor customer. He never bought one because someone had told him that if his neighbor said that he was doing something bad, then in the middle of the night they were going to kick in his door and take all of his things. He honestly believed that. And I was like, no, but I will tell you this. I don't care if you own a suppressor or not. If you've done something bad with firearms and the police deem you, you know, it a necessity to kick in your door.
Sure.
Owning the suppressor is not why they're doing that.
Right, right.
You know,
it's
action. Exactly. It's what you've done with it. I said, if you're a good, upstanding citizen, you're, you know, obeying the laws, you're doing what you're supposed to do, you're a productive American, you're going to have the same interaction I have with the police at 7-Eleven. How you doing, buddy? Thanks for your service.
Right,
appreciate
right.
what you're doing, you know?
Yeah.
But that's, you know, then so those weird things that people kind of get in their head and keep them from buying a gun, or maybe keep them from looking at suppressors, which is just misinformation on that.
Is that spurring from the red flag laws? Is that?
I don't know if it's red flag laws, or maybe, you know, whoever talked to them obviously was uninformed themselves,
sure.
or maybe was, you know, just wanting to kind of make it scary. But yeah.
So what is like the newest, because every time I walk in here, I see something new. The back wall that is below the actual Razorback hog on the wall always seems like it's something different. Are these things that you are customized, like I will point out the one on the left. Of course, you can't see it because this is radio. What the heck is that thing?
So this little
That's
one right
here. That's a pistol, isn't it?
So it is a pistol. This is actually a Sig Sauer product, okay? It's a 300 Blackout Rattler. So it's a 5.5 inch barrel pistol, has a pistol brace in 300 Blackout, and it's called a Rattler because it's a 5.5 inch barrel and it'll pretty much rattle your teeth out. But suppressed, nice weapon, compact, really packs up well. Some of the other things on the wall, we've got the Strybogs. We did a video on that recently of the SP9A3, which is a full size.
And you can find these on your website?
Some of them on the website, and definitely come in. The inventory rollover for us is so fast. By the time I was to get pictures and write about it, it's usually gone.
You know what?
But if they see something, they can always come in and say, hey, I saw something like this, and we'll try to get them.
There has been a huge push on gun sales. Although I did just read last week that gun sales were down in 2021 compared to 2020. Nationally, not here at Razorback. Do you think that there is a push when we see headlines like what's going on in Ukraine?
Initially, yes. I think a lot of people came in. It usually takes the people who are on the fence and pushes them over to want to buy.
Right.
I don't necessarily know that nationally. I know that local news really picks up a lot of things with some of the carjackings and some of the home invasions and the different things that happen. And when they realize it's in their neighborhood, it's in West County, I mean, it's South County, it's not, you know, it's very localized and it's getting closer to them. Those are the people who are looking at, if that happened to me, how would I protect myself? How would I protect my family?
Yeah.
And that really spurs it too. I think the national thing, people worry about ammunition shortages again or something, you know, the long-term effects of what this could have.
We talk about Razorback Armory being a gun concierge. Mm-hmm. You get all kinds of requests. You want some, I mean, you look at your back wall, that's extreme to me. You got some really cool stuff here. What is something that is like over the top that somebody's asked for and you've been able to supply?
Well, we do one-off custom guns. So if someone comes to me, we actually have a project in the works right now that will look like a gun that was milled and machined out of a bar of gold. And to me, it's very gaudy.
What?
But the slide and
Donald
everything.
Trump? Did you order that?
No, it wasn't Trump. But it will look like a bar of gold. We did it with the foundation of it is SIG P320. So it's very modular. Sent the slide to one guy I know here in the United States to mill for me.
Wow.
I've got the lower grip frame to a local company that I know that does some coating work. They also do laser work, so it'll all be done. And this one will make our website. We're probably a month or so off from having it, but completely out of this world, decorative, crazy. I mean, you could carry it and shoot it. I wouldn't because of the cost factor involved. But we're making it not just pretty, it will be functional. And yes, you could absolutely shoot it. Some of the other things are really functional things. Like people are like, hey, I want a truck gun. I want something I can stow in my vehicle in case I needed it, but I have these size constraints. And I want to, you know, be able to use this caliber. I want it to take this magazine. So we'll look at what's out there and then try to fabricate something for them that works. Big thing now is color change. People want to do certain colors on guns.
You bring that up, colors on guns. Mm-hmm. Are you for or against pink firearms?
For you, Bo. I mean, if you need one, I can.
I am asking.
I got a guy. Don't worry. He'll make that thing super.
No, pink. There's been the argument of whether it looks too much like a toy.
So, on the toy argument, I could see it because I have a lot of guns that if you went down a toy aisle at a store, there's an airsoft or a kid's gun that mimics it because they're mimicking real guns.
Or a pellet gun.
Yeah, exactly. I think for that personal touch, that flair, because you have to treat all guns with safety, you know, with respect, you know, they can all kill you.
Yeah.
To give it that extra little piece of you, if you will, that kind of makes it unique in your own. One of our favorite things that I've been doing forever with custom guns is, you know, you get to the gun range and you're pulling out your guns and your buddy's pulling out his and there's a guy next to you pulling out their guns. And the guy may walk up, well, I got one of those. Well, nah, you really don't, because this is my gun because they did this to it, this to it. It's this color. I had this trigger, you know. And then it does two things. A, you know, kind of one-ups the other guy. But it also shows that you know about your weapon. You didn't just go pick out, I'll take that one because it's blue or something.
Yeah.
You know, you really got into building that gun. So it has a little bit more attachment to you.
And
I feel
you
a little more
here.
Pride and ownership. Oh,
and
yeah.
You do that all here, customizing.
Much as I can. Some stuff when we get a little bit further out of the box, I do have to get out and employ and bring in some other friends I have in the industry that do certain processes and certain work for me. But yeah, absolutely.
Restorations, you do that all the time. People inherit a firearm. They want to restore it or something. You guys do that here?
Yes. So we do restoration and preservation services. Big key factor. A restoration service is grandpa's old gun, looks a little ratty. This is a gun for you. It's a family, you know, you want to see it a certain way.
Right.
We're not necessarily telling you, hey, you put this money in this gun, it's going to be worth so much more. And actually, some guns I'll tell people, do not restore. Do not do these things to
it. Leave it the way they are.
Because of what it is. And that transfers over to our preservation services. When we want to preserve a firearm, we want to keep that patina, we want to clean it, we want to get everything off of it, but we're not going to refinish the wood, we're not going to re-blue the metal, you know, we're not going to re-engrave
something. That could devalue it, too.
Absolutely would devalue it. Now, but on, you know, grandpa's old gun, when you want to see it just the way grandpa had it, that is our full restoration.
Okay, you guys still do consignments.
Yes.
And what is something rare in the consignment list today?
So
anything,
I've got
anything that stands out as I'm looking at the
rare ones in back, because I can't put them out, you know. I got a HKP7 M13 9mm squeeze cocker. Beautiful
saying?
Gun.
I don't understand what you're
exactly.
saying.
People in the gun world know that's a pretty cool little HK. Actually had a really nice 5.86 Smith & Wesson 6-inch revolver come in. I just sold that one here about an hour and a half ago.
They don't last long, do they?
Not the good ones.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and honestly, the rarer ones are the more unique ones. I got a list. I'll make a phone call or two that I know people are interested in those things. We'll try to bring them in and let them see those.
Yeah, I mean, there's Second Amendment supporters, but there's also been collectors, like
Absolutely.
Car collectors or Pokemon collectors or Beanie Babies like you did.
Exactly.
Yeah, you got them all.
I got every one of them.
Princess Di.
It's down in the basement. You see my eBay account. I like it.
Okay, so the other reason I stopped by is I really wanted to see the firearm and pick up the firearm for the Big Dogs Poker Bash, March 27th. You can go to Bo Matthews on Facebook and get to the Eventbrite link, and that's going to get you to where you can get your tickets to reserve a seat, and we are selling quick, which is good.
That's good. That's good.
We had a record year last year, and another record of last year. We were like 3 hours into the game, Jess, and I hadn't heard the word COVID at all. I mean, it was like somebody said, I'm like, oh, that felt so good, that little three-hour window.
Yeah.
Anyway, Brookdale Farms is where we're having this. Tell me about this beautiful shotgun. It's a home defense shotgun.
Yeah.
Or I mean, it's a shotgun.
It's a shotgun. So basically set up for home defense. So it's a shorter barrel. It does have your optics package on it. Pistol grip, you know, stock, so we call it a Mark V stock. But pump 12-gauge shotgun. Really good for home defense. Great entry-level shotgun, but hopefully something that your players will want to put a little money in and give a, you know, give that money. They know it's going to a good cause, and
Absolutely.
Then they get a gun out of the
Eureka
deal.
Police Officer Support Fund. You know, we bring up a lot of people choose a shotgun as a home defense weapon. What kind of shot do you prefer for home defense? Is it bird shot so it doesn't damage and go through drywall or something like that?
So it kind of depends. And
or do
every
it all, I think, who was it? Was it Chris
Staggers
Rock?
Them.
Who was it that did it? Was it
Chappelle?
He did it. Yeah. He staggers the slugs to the bird shot.
Yeah.
This one's going to hurt.
Yeah.
This one's going to get you.
Yeah. It really depends. I mean, honestly, at close range, it doesn't matter. You're going to shotgun wounds and for defensive shotgun purposes are great. My adage is, if it's bad enough to shoot someone, they need to be shot.
Yeah.
So you want to use something that is going to knock down and stop the threat. Okay. So it's not a scare the threat. It's not a maybe harm the threat. It's stop that threat.
Didn't we have a politician that said shoot in the air once?
Have you met him? He's our president.
Oh yeah, I've heard of him.
Yeah.
No, that's what it was.
It is. Walk outside on the front porch and just let one loose. I'm sure the people in Ladue would love that, but.
I feel if you need to
use a weapon, I feel that, you know, you want to be trained on it. You want to know the safeties of it. You want to protect yourself. You want to protect your family. But you also want to stop that threat. And a 12-gauge shotgun is an excellent way of doing that.
Okay. So the one you're donating, thank you to Razorback Armory, retail on this particular firearm?
Should be right around $300-$400.
Okay, beautiful. All right, check it out, RazorbackArmory.com. You can, as I've mentioned before, in the commercials you hear me talking about them, you can make an appointment to come in and talk to you or any of your crew. Are you still just four or are you five?
Four.
You're four, okay.
Yeah.
It's not a big shop, doesn't have to be, because firearms can be compact and
That's
small.
Right.
RazorbackArmory.com. Jesse, thank you so much for supporting the Big Dogs Poker Bash, and thanks for joining me on Second Amendment Radio.
No problem. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Tim Chelsvik is coming up next on Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. That is music to my ears. Nitty Gritty Dirt Band. Wow. I miss their stuff. They remind me of so many people that are influenced by Nitty Gritty Dirt Band. My next guest is a major country fan, knows that song well, and he knows the great outdoors. Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors. We welcome a recurring character on this show, Tim Chelsvik. How are you, sir?
What's up, Bo? I'm good.
Thanks for joining us on the show from Drury Outdoors. You got a lot of things going on with Drury Outdoors. What a dream life you have, don't you?
There are worse jobs to have out there, for sure. it's awesome. You know, I get to oversee DeerCast, which is our hunting app, and that's a blast. You get to see all the, you know, a lot of people are sending in their pictures of antler sheds that they're finding this time of year. So it's cool to see everyone's success out in the woods. And then we help people kill deer and make the most of their time in the woods. So that's a pretty cool thing to be able to do.
That's outstanding. And you guys, does DeerCast, since it's called DeerCast, it only regards deer tracking and things like that. But is there any other different apps that you guys provide for, let's say, turkey hunting, since spring turkey is coming up?
Well, Drury Outdoors started because of turkey hunting. Back in 1989, Mark and Terry Drury down in Bloomsdale, St. John area, started. They got a big old Panasonic camcorder and took it out and filmed their first turkey hunt and put it on a VHS tape. And that's what launched Drury Outdoors back in 1989. And turkey and Mark Drury is a championship turkey caller. And made the circuit and had his own line of calls for a long time. Now we have the Drury Outdoors signature series of turkey calls that Hunter Specialties produces. And so there, and all of our turkey hunts from 1989 to present day are all in DeerCast. You can go in there and you can watch them.
Oh, okay. So DeerCast is the umbrella.
Yeah, there's videos. All of our videos are in there, including the DeerCast track app and the DeerCast movement forecaster, and it's a social media feed in there too, and so it's got everything.
How long has Drury Outdoors put out their own turkey calls? About 10 years, 5 years, a year.
Well, Mark had his Mad Turkey Call line. I don't know. He's probably had that for 15 years or so, and then divested from that. And now because we're partners with Hunter Specialties, this is our second year with that DOD signature series. And they're awesome. I killed my gobbler last year using the box call and the slate call.
Oh yeah. So I was going to ask, is it do they do the mouth calls as well?
Yeah, we have a line. It's a three pack of DOD signature series mouth calls that Mark specifically crafted and cut to spec, and we got you covered. Like any turkey call you want, you can find in the DOD signature series.
And with your experience, I mean, I know it's a real talent to do the mouth calls. A buddy of mine does that. Not everybody can do it. It's kind of like, you know, playing a trumpet. I mean, it's definitely skills.
Yeah.
Compared to the box.
And I thought I could do it. And then I started hanging out with guys like Ray I and Mark Drury. And I realized, maybe I'm not as good as I thought I was.
Man's got to know his limitations. Yeah. No kidding. Because I'm thinking Duck Commander and the Robertson family, great family down in Louisiana. They've obviously made their mark. Have you ever met any of those guys by any chance?
I have not, but I've heard that they are, like, what you see is what you get. Like, they are just as good and just as funny as they are on TV as they are in person.
And actually, because we're going to promote your podcast, Unashamed on YouTube is what their podcast is. But we have dinner with them almost every night because they're basically doing a Bible study, which is beautiful. But, you know, you interview a lot of people in the hunting world for sure. Maybe, you know, extracurricular stars that love to hunt, things like that. Mm-hmm. One of my highlights of my career behind the microphone is interviewing Phil Robertson. It happened about a year ago. It was phenomenal.
I thought you were going to say coming on my podcast.
It was, yeah. The Thinking Woodsman is right there at number two.
This is number two. Solid number two.
So you're number two. Oh, that's so mean.
Way to pull it out.
I tried. So one of the other reasons of our theme song coming into this segment was Fishing in the Dark, which can be dangerous. But let's talk about fishing season opening. Trout season opened, a week ago or so. And it's time. And the weather. Man, the weather's awesome.
It's gorgeous. Yeah. And trail parks are kind of, they're really unique to Missouri. They're not every state has a network of trout parks like we do. And I grew up in Illinois. And so when I came to Missouri, my buddy was like, we got to go to Montauk. I got to show you this place. And I was just fascinated because I grew up with muddy streams and you couldn't see the bottom and we didn't have trout. And Missouri really has a really interesting and rare a resource in our trout parks. And yeah, they're, I don't know if everyone realizes that most of them are open year round. They just have like the regulations are different. Like you maybe can't fish certain areas or maybe they're fly only but kind of the big opening day is here in March. And so I know people kind of go and like, it doesn't really attract me to go stand shoulder to shoulder and untangle my lines from the guy standing next to me. Yeah. Some people love that. They love the camaraderie. It's like duck hunting almost, hang out in the blind with a bunch of other guys. They like standing shoulder to shoulder. And so it's cool. There are those people that like to get out and it's almost a holiday for them to get out and go do that.
Well, Tim Chelswick, by the way, from Drury Outdoors is my guest. I've actually met his family. He's a great father. He's a great husband. But in addition to being a great hunter, I know your kids are involved with the deer hunting world, but do they like to fish?
Yeah, they absolutely love to fish, and that's kind of how they got started in the outdoors. And it's a great thing. We've got a couple local ponds that I like to take them to, and it's just a great time for us to chill out. What I've learned as a dad, as someone who's a nut about fishing, I need to leave my fishing rod at home.
Oh,
because I'm still like I still want to fish. I still want to, and I focus too much on myself. And I just realized I got to leave my rod at home, focus on the kids, help them have a great time. And it ends up better for everybody.
You know what? That's a really good point that I'd like to make. A point of my grandfather, who I miss him so bad, Clarence up in Minnesota. Of course, I never called him Clarence, but sure. I heard him say to my uncles, because he took us, my cousins out fishing up at Mille Lacs Lake up in Minnesota, huge lake. And he come back and I think my grandmother said, well, didn't you go fishing? And I heard him say to her and my uncles, when you take a kid fishing, you take a kid fishing. That's the job. You know, you just can't, you can't do everything at once,
Yep, that's right. Now, up in Minnesota, did you ever fish with live leeches?
Oh, of course. I'd pull them off my calves and I'd put them right on the hook.
That's something that those of us down here in the southern, more southern reaches of the U.S. don't, we used to go to Wisconsin all the time, and when you'd hop out of the water on vacation, you'd have to do a leech, like we check for ticks now here in Missouri.
Yeah.
You'd have to check for leeches because you find them, all over.
Now, can you get leeches at bait stores around here? Do they ship them in or anything?
Yeah, they ship them in, but it's more, guys fishing for walleye and stuff up north, leeches and smallmouth. Leeches just tend to be a little more prevalent up there, I think.
And they're stronger to hang on the hook. I always hated doing the worm on the hook. I mean, I know that's traditional, cane pole mm-hmm. and a line and put a worm on the hook, but I always lose the worm because I always cast too fast as because I want to go the farthest. But,
sure.
But the mouth or the sucker of the leech, mm-hmm. boy, that's a strong piece of meat to hang on to that hook.
It is.
It's true.
So if people are tuning in for leech tips, then they tuned into the right show.
Yeah, right. Well, we cover it all here.
Yeah,
but right. The other thing I wanted to ask you, Tim, as a great hunter, father, husband, what do you do when you're out in the woods all by yourself? Do you really cherish that time of quietness, maybe with the good Lord, or do you take all that in?
I just had a moment like this. I'm training for an ultra marathon right now, and part of my long run takes me out on a trail through Rockwoods Reservation, Rockwoods Range,
beautiful,
out in St. Louis County. And I had I was out this past Sunday. I had the whole woods to myself, and I just had to stop and be, and I didn't physically stop mentally. I stopped and I was like, this is a really incredible thing to have this entire place to myself and just to be able to appreciate kind of what's around me. And I really think when you go out into creation, you're recreated. That's where.
That is brings music to my ears. Nitty Gritty Dirt Band. Wow. I miss their stuff. They remind me of so many people that are influenced by Nitty Gritty Dirt Band. My next guest is a major country fan, knows that song well, and he knows the great outdoors. Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors. We welcome a recurring character on this show, Tim Chelsvik. How are you, sir?
What's up, Bo? I'm good.
Thanks for joining us on the show from Drury Outdoors. You got a lot of things going on with Drury Outdoors. What a dream life you have, don't you?
There are worse jobs to have out there, for sure. it's awesome. You know, I get to oversee DeerCast, which is our hunting app, and that's a blast. You get to see all the, you know, a lot of people are sending in their pictures of antler sheds that they're finding this time of year. So it's cool to see everyone's success out in the woods. And then we help people kill deer and make the most of their time in the woods. So that's a pretty cool thing to be able to do.
That's outstanding. And you guys, does DeerCast, since it's called DeerCast, it only regards deer tracking and things like that. But is there any other different apps that you guys provide for, let's say, turkey hunting, since spring turkey is coming up?
Well, Drury Outdoors started because of turkey hunting. Back in 1989, Mark and Terry Drury down in Bloomsdale, St. John area, started. They got a big old Panasonic camcorder and took it out and filmed their first turkey hunt and put it on a VHS tape. That's what launched Drury Outdoors back in 1989. And turkey and Mark Drury is a championship turkey caller. And made the circuit and had his own line of calls for a long time. Now we have the Drury Outdoors signature series of turkey calls that Hunter Specialties produces. And so there, and all of our turkey hunts from 1989 to present day are all in DeerCast. You can go in there and you can watch them.
Oh, okay. So DeerCast is the umbrella.
Yeah, there's videos. All of our videos are in there, including the DeerCast track app and the DeerCast movement forecaster, and it's a social media feed in there too, and so it's got everything.
How long has Drury Outdoors put out their own turkey calls? Just about 10 years, 5 years, a year.
Well, Mark had his the Mad Turkey Call line. I don't know. He probably had that for 15 years or so, and then divested from that. And now because we're partners with Hunter Specialties, this is our second year with that DOD signature series, and they're awesome. I killed my gobbler last year using the box call and the slate call.
Oh yeah. So I was going to ask. Is it the do they do the mouth calls as well?
Yep. Yeah, we have a line. It's a three pack of DOD signature series mouth calls that Mark specifically crafted and cut to spec. And so yeah, there we got you covered. Like any turkey call you want, you can find in the DOD signature series.
And with your experience, I mean, I know it's a real talent to do the mouth calls. A buddy of mine does that. Not everybody can do it. It's kind of like, you know, playing a trumpet. I mean, it's definitely skills compared to the box.
And I thought I could do it. And then I started hanging out with guys like Ray I and Mark Drury. And I realized, maybe I'm not as good as I thought I was.
man's got to know his limitations. Yeah. No kidding. Because I'm thinking Duck Commander and the Robertson family, great family down in Louisiana. They've obviously made their mark. Have you ever met any of those guys by any chance?
I have not, but I've heard that they are, like, what you see is what you get. Like, they are just as good and just as funny as they are on TV as they are in person.
And actually, because we're going to promote your podcast, Unashamed on YouTube is what their podcast is. But we have dinner with them almost every night because they're, you know, they're basically doing a Bible study, which is beautiful. But, you know, you interview a lot of people in the hunting world for sure. Maybe, you know, extracurricular stars that love to hunt, things like that. Mm-hmm. One of my highlights of my career behind the microphone is interviewing Phil Robertson. It happened about a year ago. It was phenomenal.
I thought you were going to say coming on my podcast.
It was, yeah. The Thinking Woodsman is right there at number two.
This is number two. Solid number two.
So you're number two. Oh, that's so mean.
Way to pull it out.
I tried. So one of the other reasons, our theme song coming into this segment was Fishing in the Dark, which can be dangerous. But let's talk about fishing season opening. Trout season opened, a week ago or so. And the weather? Man, the weather's awesome.
It's gorgeous. Yeah. And trail parks are kind of, they're really unique to Missouri. They're not every state has a network of trout parks like we do. And I grew up in Illinois. And so when I came to Missouri, my buddy was like, we got to go to Montauk. I got to show you this place. And I was just fascinated because I grew up with muddy streams and you couldn't see the bottom and we didn't have trout. And Missouri really has a really interesting and rare a resource in our trout parks. And yeah, they're, I don't know if everyone realizes that most of them are open year round. They just have like the regulations are different. Like you maybe can't fish certain areas or maybe they're fly only but kind of the big opening day is here in March. And so I know people kind of go and like, it doesn't really attract me to go stand shoulder to shoulder and untangle my lines from the guy standing next to me. No. Some people love that. They love the camaraderie. It's like duck hunting almost, hang out in the blind with a bunch of other guys. They like standing shoulder to shoulder. And so it's cool. There are those people that like to get out and it's almost a holiday for them to get out and go do that.
Well, Tim Chelswick, by the way, from Drury Outdoors is my guest. I've actually met his family. He's a great father. He's a great husband. In addition to being a great hunter, I know your kids are involved with the deer hunting world, but do they like to fish?
Yeah, they absolutely love to fish, and that's kind of how they got started in the outdoors. And it's a great thing. We've got a couple local ponds that I like to take them to, and it's just a great time for us to chill out. What I've learned as a dad, as someone who's a nut about fishing, I need to leave my fishing rod at home.
Oh,
because I'm still like I still want to fish. I still want to, and I focus too much on myself, and I just realized I got to leave my rod at home, focus on the kids, help them have a great time. And it ends up better for everybody.
You know what? That's a really good point that I'd like to make. A point of my grandfather, who I miss him so bad, Clarence up in Minnesota. Of course, I never called him Clarence, but sure. I heard him say to my uncles, because he took us, my cousins out fishing up at Mille Lac Lake up in Minnesota, huge lake. And he come back and I think my grandmother said, well, didn't you go fishing? And I heard him say to her and my uncles, when you take a kid fishing, you take a kid fishing. That's the perfect job. You just can't, you can't do everything at once,
Yep, that's right. Now, up in Minnesota, did you ever fish with live leeches?
Oh, of course. I'd pull them off my calves and I'd put them right on the hook.
That's something that those of us down here in the southern, more southern reaches of the U.S. don't, we used to go to Wisconsin all the time. And when you'd hop out of the water on vacation, you'd have to do a leech, like we check for ticks now here in Missouri.
Yeah.
You'd have to check for leeches because you find them, all over.
Now, can you get leeches at bait stores around here? Do they ship them in or anything?
Yeah, they ship them in, but it's more, guys fishing for walleye and stuff up north, leeches and smallmouth, leeches just tend to be a little more prevalent up there, I think.
And they're stronger to hang on the hook. I always hated doing the worm on the hook. I mean, I know that's traditional, cane pole and a line and put a worm on the hook, but I always lose the worm because I always cast too fast as because I want to go the farthest. But the mouth or the sucker of the leech, boy, that's a strong piece of meat to hang on to that hook.
It is.
It's true.
So if people are tuning in for leech tips, then they tuned into the right show.
Yeah, right. Well, we cover it all here.
Yeah,
but right. The other thing I wanted to ask you, Tim, as a great hunter, father, husband, what do you do when you're out in the woods all by yourself? Do you really cherish that time of quietness, maybe with the good Lord, or do you take all that in?
I just had a moment like this. I'm training for an ultra marathon right now, and part of my long run takes me out on a trail through Rockwoods Reservation, Rockwoods Range,
beautiful,
out in St. Louis County. And I had I was out this past Sunday, I had the whole woods to myself, and I just had to like stop and I didn't physically stop, mentally I stopped, and I was like, this is a really incredible thing to have this entire place to myself and just to be able to appreciate kind of what's around me. And I really think like when you go out into creation, you're recreated. That's where the root of the word recreation is, that you're changed, you become a different person because you're coming closer to the author of creation. So, you know, a lot of us love nature for the sake of nature. I think we really love nature because we're getting closer to truth. And I think that's God revealed through creation behind everything.
Dude, I just got chills. I never even thought of that. The word recreation is augmented from the word creation.
Yeah. We've kind of stripped it of its power. It seems like it's a hobby or something. No, I'm going to go out and have some recreation time. But it really is a powerful thing when you think about what it's supposed to do.
Man, that's powerful. Gosh, that's great, man. So the answer is yes. You because I enjoy my time. I mean, I could be leaf blowing on my property, and that's fine. Mm-hmm. But when you can just sit still, maybe you're deer hunting, maybe you're running. I don't know. But when you take that moment and really take in what is around you, it is just the most. It is the best quality time you can spend in your heart and in your mind.
We took the kids out, my wife and I, on the deck a couple nights ago, and just looked up at the stars. And I was sitting there with my daughter. And I was like, "Isn't it crazy? We go to bed every night, and this is just, you know, above the shingles and, you know, the rafters of our house. We never come out here and look up just to witness. This happens every night, and we just don't see it to appreciate it. And it's good to do that every. You know, you can't spend your whole life with your neck craned to the sky, but it is good to stop every now and again, just kind of put yourself in your rightful place in the universe.
You know, somebody just sent me a diagram of how much time we spend with our faces and our phone. Ugh. And the diagram was, of course, we're not even going to talk screen time because that scares me every time I get the little alert. Hey, by the way, you're up 24% from last week, which works out to be another full-time job. But how much weight is added at the angle of your head when you're looking down at your phone? You know, hey, Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors, this is just a reminder to look up once in a while and look to the sky, seriously.
100%. I think you'll be a better person for doing, just in general, I think we'll be better people if we do those things.
It is always great to catch up with you. Tim Chelsvik from Drury Outdoors. How's the podcast going? You know, the one that I was on.
That one is kind of growing. It's dusty right now. It's got some cobwebs on it. But the 100% Wild podcast, I'm struggling with time, and I've really learned, like, I've got to just be able to say no to some things and shut some things off, focus on what's important.
Sure.
The 100% Wild podcast that we do at Drury Outdoors, we just had T-Bone from the Bone Collector on. He just had his leg amputated about 3 weeks ago due to an aggressive cancer there.
Oh my.
Talk about an inspirational story and an inspirational dude. That was an incredible show. And so the 100% Wild podcast is rocking, and we're getting some great guests and having some really great conversations too.
And getting a lot of downloads of it.
Yeah. And it's growing. It's definitely, like, Matt Drury and I we're okay hunters. We don't pretend to be something that we're not. So people enjoy hearing the struggles and just kind of the honest, candid talk about hunting, especially hunting when you are hunting in the shadow of the likes of Mark and Terry Drury and some of the really big buck killers that we've got on the team. It's an interesting juxtaposition.
Wow. You know what? That ought to drive people to your podcast. So do you have a fan page for you personally, for your fitness journey as well?
Yeah, the Thinking Woodsman on Facebook and Thinking Woodsman on Instagram are the two best places. And if folks are wanting a little help with their fitness, that's another thing that I do. They can just look up the Legion of Woodsmen on Facebook. It's a private Facebook group where I help people take charge of their fitness and health.
Okay. Well, in this segment with Tim Chelsvik from Drury Outdoors, we did talk some fishing, and I do want to mention, as part of the Big Dogs Poker Bash coming up on March 27th, before we started this segment, I asked a proud beggar, and Drury Outdoors hopefully is going to get together a package of stuff to donate to our silent auction and the poker game to benefit the Eureka Police Officer Support Fund. Tim, I did just text you some documents too regarding that. I also wanted to call out Brian Wertle. Turtle. He has a company called Stream Adventures. And if you want a private chartered fishing experience, you know, Jeff County, Franklin County, Lincoln County, he does them all. Jet boats, inflatable rafts, all kinds of stuff. Stream Adventures has donated a private half-day fishing trip that's up to two people, and it's worth like $350. And he guides you to where the fish should be. He says it's fishing, not catching, as we all know, right? That's the small print. But anyway, so hope to see everybody at the Big Dogs Poker Bash. More information, search on Facebook, 6th Annual Big Dogs Poker Bash, and it'll be in Eureka at Brookdale Farms. Once again, our 6th Annual, going to be a great time. Hope to see everybody there. Tim, thank you very much for your time. I hope you enjoy the rest of your weekend, sir.
Thanks, Carl and Bo.
Thank you. Mark Cox will be back next week. And this is Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors.
It is. Have a great weekend. See you, boys.